B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, East Point, smoke some dank. Call it all in the eye. Old National got the skanks. Everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the M.I. drinking letter. Ain't no
hour number two of Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones, Joe Murray, and Mike Lockhart taking you up until 10 a.m. here on a Friday. You got your fantasy draft around the corner? I'd imagine you do. I got an auction on the 30th, the week from Sunday. So we're gonna pick the mind of Mike Lockhart, pick the brain of Mike Lockhart, the host of the Fantasy Football Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll do that at the end of the hour.
Sounds good.
Get some drafting tips, some ideas on how to attack the first round, some strategic things, who to avoid early on, maybe even some late round targets as well.
I got some rookies for you, Jones, that are going to blow your mind.
I like it. I'll be jotting them down. Again, I got the auction. I'll save a few extra bucks for your rookies in
save a dollar. That's all you need.
In my auction on week from Sunday. Like I said, I'm excited about that. So we'll do that at the end of the hour with all your phone calls at 617-779-0985. We're going to talk to Albert Breer here from the MMQB momentarily. I am curious what the Patriots do at quarterback. I think we all are curious what the Patriots do at quarterback, and you know, maybe that's coming into focus without a elongated competition. If Stidham already is dinged up, that would give the job to Cam Newton, and you wouldn't necessarily need to fake a competition to do that. But I'm with you guys. As I said before, I don't really understand the charade, and I don't want to overstate it. Like, Cam Newton needs to take a million snaps to zero compared to everyone else, but like, I do think these reps are important.
Sure,
I do.
And how do we know that he's not another Ryan Mallett, Jarrett Stidham? I mean, what if that ends up being the case? Imagine what would happen to this franchise if Brady had retired and Ryan Mallett ended up taking over.
Kid.
It would have been
that the
awful.
Famous saying.
Mallett, I mean,
was Mike Mayock, what was that again?
Yeah, he was. He popped out there on the practice field.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there were so many supporters of him, and he sucked. Yeah. How do we know this just isn't the same case?
Out of the league?
Well, it's fair. So I did research on this. Maybe I can dig through my old emails. I was in with Mike Felger a few Fridays ago. I did a bunch of research that of course just got left on the cutting room floor. Felger said, "Yeah, good stuff," and then we never used it on the air. But I did all this research on quarterbacks who don't play through their first 2 years, like guys who aren't like first round picks, because right. You know, Aaron Rodgers would be an example. Guys who don't play in their first 2 years in the league, like don't start a game in their first 2 years in the league.
They're out of the league.
Well, a lot of them are out of the league.
It's so funny. I did the same thing with Lifshatz.
Did
yes.
you? Okay, so a lot of them are terrible. I mean, Garoppolo obviously was good, and people
Aaron
are like,
Rodgers.
Well, Belichick can find one.
Garoppolo
Look, right?
and Aaron Rodgers, right? Give me another one.
Well, again, Rodgers was a first round guy. I don't even know that I count that.
Okay.
Like, he was a first round pick. That's not what Stidham is. Stidham's a fourth rounder. So I'll say anything that's not the first round. But even if you want to say Rodgers, fine. He's the exception to the rule. Garoppolo is the exception to the rule. And a lot of people will want to say, Bill found Garoppolo, so there you go. Who cares? Who cares about the rule for the rest of the league? What about Garoppolo? Bill also drafted Mallett, who didn't start for the first 2 years. And Mallett is a closer comp, I think, to Stidham. Garoppolo's second-round pick. Mallett, third-round pick. Stidham, fourth-round pick. Those two are sandwiched closer together, right? So, like, even if you say it's 50-50, okay, now it's 50-50 for Bill on those quarterbacks who don't play in the first 2 years. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, if Stidham's not starting games this year, I've pretty much given up hope on him giving you anything. And that's due to the history of guys in the league. Like, the names after Garoppolo who didn't start their first 2 years and were starting quarterbacks, like, they're pretty bad. It's
I think Cousins, maybe.
No. Cousins started as a rookie and in his second year. It was like Tom Savage like Brock Osweiler, like pretty much every bum that Bill O'Brien would take in Houston. Tyrod Taylor's another one who took like a long time to start and has turned himself into a starting quarterback. Like, if that's what you think Stidham is, fine. But no, it's a no-brainer who the starter is to me. The only question is, can Cam make it through 16 games? That's my only question.
And you're right. You look at the league now, Josh Allen started right away. Lamar Jackson, you know, eased in halfway through the season. Mahomes, all these guys that are...
Mahomes did not start year one. Mahomes started year two.
Prescott, what I'm saying, though...
I think Mahomes started like a game as
between rookie. Between year one and year two, though, these guys that are drafted, they're generally plug-and-play guys or wait half a season and get your reps.
Right.
And then they perform. I mean, you can say what you want about Jared Goff, played right away, did well. I mean, so I'm just looking around the league right now. Like, if you aren't starting in your first 2 years, generally after year three, you're out, man.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Stidham. And by the way, Burt Breer needs to be bumped back to 8 o'clock. So we're gonna talk to him in
I wonder
8 o'clock
if there's
hour.
Any,
he's in another time zone.
He's in another time zone.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he's not in another time zone.
He's not in his brain.
I think he might be working on a story.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You chasing
a little something down there, Bert?
Chasing something?
Yeah, why don't you take your time there, Bert? Chase a little something down for us, would you? You scratch our back. We'll scratch yours, I guess. Take an hour there, Bert. You take an hour.
Let me ask you this.
You find some good cell phone service. You take yourself an hour, and you find us a nice little report. We'll talk to you in an hour, Bert.
So this whole Patriots thing. They, you know, Stidham's supposed to be the guy. Everyone's pumping Stidham. Obviously, Hoyer comes in. But how many...
Hoyer or Cam?
Oh, sorry. No, Hoyer comes in.
Okay.
But around town, right, how many people have you heard say, like, three different stories about who they think the starter will be this year? Like, some of the media thinks it could actually be Hoyer.
Well, that's
ludicrous. I know. We're all saying it's ridiculous, but, like, maybe nobody believes in Cam. I wonder if, like, the Patriots are... Like leaking things out to certain guys, like
probably, and then game one versus Miami. Here we go. Here comes Cam Newton at you. I mean, that is something that I'm looking at. Is like you pump up Stidham, and maybe you float out there. Maybe he does look good at times, and they're going to use him. And then all of a sudden, you just come out with Cam Newton heavy Miami week one.
Well, so that's exactly what I think the rotation thing is. And you saw the report from Mike Reese earlier this week that hey. Maybe the Patriots will do like a college offense.
Yeah, platoon.
Who was it? Tim Tebow and Chris Leak early on at Florida, or like Brady and
the catcher.
Yeah, Henson. Drew
Henson.
Yes. Drew Henson. Thank you. Like some kind of like college level rotation like that. And I'm like, there's no way.
No.
And I respect Mike Reese, and I love the reporting of Mike Reese and all this other stuff. But I'm just like, there's no way. So he might be told that. Somebody might be telling him that. I don't deny that. But what you're saying, Mike, I think is exactly what it is. I think they're trying to screw with Flores as much as they can. Ooh, you know what? There might be a rotation. Get ready for a rotation.
Yeah.
You got a game plan for Jarrett Stidham. You got a game plan for Brian Hoyer. You got a game plan for Cam Newton. Get ready for all of them. Maybe there are specific packages where there's two quarterbacks on the field. And they hope that Brian Flores chases his tail enough for week one, and then they just unleash Cam. And I think that's exactly what they're doing with the fake quarterback competition. I think that's exactly what they're doing with that quarterback rotation story that makes no sense. And Bill even kind of was like, maybe. That day, Bill, the story came out. Then Bill was asked about it at his press conference, and he's like, maybe. Like, when does Bill ever say that? So I think he did his standard, we'll do what's best for the football team, but maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like they wanted that out there to screw with Flores. I don't buy the quarterback rotation thing for 1 second.
No, that reminds me of like draft smoke screens. Like you hear all these crazy rumors leading up to the draft. You know none of them are true because they never happen. But how amazing would it be if the Patriots come out against Miami week one, Hoyer comes out and starts, they run a bunch of plays, just run the ball. And then for the rest of the game, it's just Cam Newton.
I mean, I would not like that.
It would be hilarious.
It would be fun. It would be very funny. It would be very funny. I would not like that.
Listen,
it would be a great time to be on Twitter. I would just be screaming my head off on Twitter.
My Hoyer days are over. I'll share a quick story. I was on a vacation last year, and I bet the Colts. And
I know the game you're talking about. He came in relief 1 week and looked good, and then he started the next week against like Pittsburgh,
and
he sucked.
He
started, was it against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, and they had a chance to win the game three different times down the stretch and lost to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and he threw like a million picks.
And
I remember the game. I was all in. But Lockhart will appreciate this. I was on the Zach Pascal train. I was riding the Zach Pascal train hard that week.
But that week I was like, come on, Hoyer. Yeah, this is the third try, man. Come on. And I think actually Vinatieri missed a field goal is what happened. They lost lost the game. Vinatieri missed a damn field goal to lose the game. Anyways, I blame Hoyer. I don't. He probably wasn't the holder. I don't know. I'll blame him anyways. But I'm out on Hoyer. He should be the quarantine QB.
Sure.
Like, I know people laugh and joke about actually having one. That guy should just have a residence at Patriots Place. And if you need something in case someone gets hurt or COVID or whatever, that's your guy.
I have my game wrong. He came in against Pittsburgh. They did lose, but he was pretty good in that game. The game he sucked was the Miami game. That's the game I'm thinking of. He lost to the Dolphins.
So he is not starting.
In fairness, so to the Pats, I guess. But Yeah. Maybe Brian Hoyer, Tom Brady. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I wish I had that take earlier, ready to go. I think, and we can open it to, open it up to you guys, 617-779-0985. Like, I borderline think that the quarterback competition is now over.
Yeah.
Like, and I've always thought it was never really a competition, so maybe that's disingenuous for me to say it's over. Cam's getting the majority of the snaps. Jarrett Stidham is, what, hurt or sad? He's got a bruised ego now? So I borderline think it's over. 617-779-0985. Do you think he, A, is the starter week one? B, do you think this competition is over? And, C, do you think it should continue to go on? Like, should there be more competition? Or are they basically handing it to Cam? Which I, again, have no problem with. Because, well, quite frankly, I'm ready to see him get snaps. And I think he needs those snaps. We can get to that. And, some young rookies on the Patriots are starting to flash at training camp. Kyle Duggar. Couple of turnovers here and there. Other guys like Uche and Jennings in this draft class starting to flash a little bit. So I have a question, and I'll parrot something, I guess, that Tom Curran wrote about at NBC Sports Boston. Is Bill getting his mojo back drafting a little bit? Let's get to that with all your Cam Newton thoughts, Jarrett Stidham thoughts coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Like, he dresses an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sherm Rich, Adam Jones, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart taking you up until 10 on a Friday morning. Burr Breer. I think he's digging up a little something on what's going on with Jarrett Stidham in the Patriots quarterback competition. He will now be joining us at 8 o'clock. He's either digging something up, Joe, or he's finding good cell phone service. I don't know which one is more. Burt, you might need more than an hour to get that.
Yeah, I'll tell you though, we found a solution.
Yeah.
He now dials in instead of the old phone.
You got what, ISDN?
Like an ISDN type source, yes.
Huh.
Also known as Zoom. But yes,
Zoom.
A little Zoom action.
He zooms in.
A little zoom.
Oh, nice. You do that from anywhere. You do that from anywhere, you know, zoom, as we found out at work. You do that from a toilet if you wanted to.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he has a bad phone. It's not good.
No, it's not.
His phone is bad.
It's not news. That's like, oh wow, Cam Newton's gonna be the starter for the Patriots. That's like the same idea. But anyway, you were reading through something that Burt wrote. Can you give me that lead again from Burt's news and notes? Can you give me that?
Well, at MMQB, Sports Illustrated, of course, a day in Cam Newton's Patriots life.
Yeah, good. Yep.
The one of them I was just kind of reading to you was just going over some things with him. One thing is that he...
No. Give me the lead. Like the music blaring over the speakers and everything. Give me that part. Give me the lead to the story. Or at least the section.
At 10 a.m., he tracks it by minute.
Sure.
10 a.m., Tupac's ambitions as a writer.
Yep.
Blares from the speakers. Newton's voice is clearly the loudest during stretches. Uh-huh. And in that sense, again, he's just who he was in Carolina.
So... is the energy thing getting annoying with Cam? I said this the other night, and I'm not the first one to bring this up, but it's starting to annoy me that every story I read about Cam Newton, we have to read about his energy. Like, is that starting to annoy anybody else? Like, people are like, oh, he brings a lot of energy to practice.
Well, I think that we've been dealing with Brady for the last 20 years. So.
Yeah, but what does that matter that he brings a lot of energy to practice? Who cares?
I don't think they have a lot to write about.
Well, so that's fair. Yeah. That's a good point. Not a lot of access down there. There's not as many people down there. Yeah. So,
like,
fair.
Look at him, he's dancing.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, like, that's fine. I'm not anti him dancing. I'm not saying that.
No, I know what you're saying.
But, like, who cares? He brings energy to practice, so what?
But like Tom Brady brought energy.
Can he play? I don't know. Did he?
He brought anger energy.
Exactly.
Tom Brady's let's go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Got me fight.
That's
got me
all
in.
He's got.
Oh, my
though.
God. That, was,
that could
was
also
so,
be the let's
no,
go.
No, no,
that's eyewash. That's eyewash is what that is.
No. You can eye roll it. It got me pumped.
That's eyewash. That's like fake pump up is what I'm saying. That doesn't pump me up. When Brady yells LFG running Brady's, out of the tunnel, that would get
go.
You?
Yeah. That definitely. Got me in like 2014.
Yeah, sure, right, exactly. Yeah.
Nope, still got me. The Kevin Garnett's raw or
yeah,
whatever.
Same thing. That's a perfect analogy, and it's the exact same thing. I watch. Fake. It's fake. Fake. That's what that
is. So
what
does that make
is.
Me then?
Well, I don't know.
If I get pumped on that.
Just a simpleton.
Yeah, easily do
it. But again, anything football, I smell the grass and I get hyped up. Well, offensive lineman, like, I get hyped up. Well, we start talking counters in second level, I'm hyped up.
If you're getting hyped up at offensive line play, then that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
You're getting hyped up a little too easy.
So maybe that's what the writers are doing. He's really bringing the energy, man.
Who cares?
He looks like he's really got it.
That's every time I read the word energy. And anyone's, all due respect to all you beat writers out there, every time I read the word energy, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. I get that he brings more energy. You've already written it. And if you haven't written it yet, trust me, somebody else on the beat has written it, so don't write about it. I don't care about the energy anymore. I honestly don't care. Can he play? Is he healthy? Is he ahead of Jared? Like, that's what I want to read about. I don't want to read about his energy anymore. I'm over his energy. I'm over that. And again, I don't care. I don't mind that he dances. I want Cam to be Cam. Trust me, I want him to be Cam. I do not want to, what's the word I'm looking for? Deprogram Cam Newton, wire him differently. I don't want to do that. I want Cam Newton to be Cam. I want him dancing. I want him signaling for first downs.
You want him on Instagram?
Yes, I want all of that. The Patriots may not want,
you want
that,
him
but I don't
the football
care.
To nobody in the stands?
Yes, I don't care about any of that. I want Cam to be Cam because I want him to be on the field Cam Newton. I don't want him to be some button-down version of Cam Newton.
Great. I love that you say that. Do you think that Bill Belichick's letting him do that right now?
It seems that way.
Absolutely, yeah. He is.
Well, Belichick doesn't care. I always thought that was overrated. The whole you can't come in here and be himself. I mean, how many times did Belichick scream at the team to get excited after they made a play?
Yeah.
And I always thought that that was a bad narrative.
I don't know if Bill likes that.
I don't think he cares.
I think Bill.
I mean, if he sucks, then he'll hate it.
I think he might allow it. I don't know that Bill likes Bill likes a good fist pump. Bill's like, give him a good pat on the backside there, Gary Guyton. You're celebrating. Give him a high five. I don't know if Bill likes the dancing, quite frankly, but he might allow it. Whether he likes it or not, he might allow it.
The old Derek Mason cut. That's always, hey, Mason, I always love that one. But remember when Cam Newton made it to Logan Airport and then he was like, shh. Can't talk about it. Like,
sure.
He plays. Sometimes it's like, told I can't talk. Or,
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't care if he's on Instagram. In fact, I would prefer him to be on Instagram. That's great for us. So more videos, more content. Great. But I don't really care if he's on there. Do we think the Patriots want him on there?
I mean, as long as he's not doing anything wrong, I don't think they care. I mean, how many tribute videos can you make to yourself? I mean, that's not doing anything bad.
No, but does Bill worry other teams might use it against him? Like, they use the Letterman jacket and stuff against, like, the Texans?
Good.
Like,
do it, because that really backfired.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying is, like, Bill will use stuff like that against other people. So is Bill worried about him putting that out there? I think he might be.
I don't know. This year's a weird year, so I don't know.
It is a weird year. I mean, that is that's absolutely true. Like, it's not your normal Patriots season, but I don't want to deprogram Cam Newton, and I'd like him to start getting reps, which is why I was encouraged by yesterday's reporting. When they weren't talking about his energy, yesterday's reporting about the reps down there.
Can I throw one other note from this SI column, Bert Breer, who'll join us at 8 o'clock today?
Sure.
Quarterbacks coach Jed Fish has the quarterbacks working on spot throws. This is where you can see Newton's got the pop in his arm in the funky release. So basically, he's saying Cam's arm is popping.
He says his arm
but he's
popping.
Got a funky release.
Yeah, was that good or bad? I can't tell if that's good or bad.
It's popping because he has a funky release.
It looks like he's aiming to put air under a throw, yet the ball comes darting out. And then obviously, Fish has the quarterbacks throwing off play action, and Newton uncorks lasers from the far hash mark to the left sideline to show where his velocity's at.
Look, again, I'm worried if he can stay healthy with the shoulder, with the foot, with all of it. But he should start getting the reps so we can start finding out. And if Stidham's got a bruised ego or Stidham's hurt or whatever, well, then that's all just collateral. It is interesting. The day after Stidham starts to lose reps, all of a sudden he's now reportedly dealing with something.
Still looking, championing to find more about this.
So again, we'll check in with Burt Breer on that coming up in just a little bit. Top of the hour, I should say. Meantime, Curran wrote about this today. The headline in NBC Sports Boston, Patriots training camp 2020 draft picks are outshining recent draft classes. To which I say, well, yeah, of course. I mean, all these other draft classes have been terrible. 2017 and 2018 and 2019. Like, how many good players have they gotten out of those drafts? Very few. So I would say, okay, well, that's obvious, but you do want these young guys flashing, and it seems like they are. And it's not just the guys that we've been hearing a lot about. Kyle Duggar getting turnovers, a couple of picks, a strip of, I think, Jacoby Myers the other day where he forced a fumble. But it's guys like Justin Heron, an offensive lineman that they drafted, Uche and Jennings. So, like, I don't know. Is this the year where Bill finally gets his mojo back? Because he lost it for a while. In the, you know, that 2008 to 2009, 2007 to 2009 window, they went through a fallow period, and then they started hitting again. Your McCourty draft, your Gronk draft, you know, Hightower and Chandler Jones in the same draft. Like, they did start to hit again. Is this the beginning of Bill turning that around? I would allow for that. I didn't love their draft when they made it. Trading out of the first round, and then your first pick is a kid out of D2. I didn't love that, but I mean, if you're telling me these kids can play, the tight ends can play, the linebackers can play, this Duggar kid out of D2 can play, great. They need to start hitting on these picks.
Yeah, and you know what he was hitting on for a while was undrafted free agents.
Yep.
That was incredible. Yep. The drafts were down. He got some good players, some undrafted guys. But, you know, we always give him crap, and I was guilty of it too. But you look around the league, and a lot of the teams year after year don't have a lot of players that make it, just like the Patriots. I mean, there's so many guys who don't end up making any impact on their team. And, you know, you get these receivers or quarterbacks or something that just kind of like, you know, you hear about. But a lot of the guys you don't hear about don't end up making the team. So, I mean, I feel like it's not quite as bad as we all think.
One bad draft pick, or at least it's looking like it might be a shaky draft pick. The kicker may not be so hot. The kicker, and I don't even mean the tattoo and tattoo removal, which is its own headache. I mean, he went 3 for 5 day one. One of the kicks he made, he clanged in off the upright, and apparently they haven't had him kicking in front of the media since.
You know what I heard?
So you can't handle a couple of fat, coffee-stained beat writers down there. You can't handle that. But now all of a sudden you're going to handle NFL defenses and the spotlight of being on national television and everything. Like, you can't handle a couple of beat guys standing around your practice field? That's getting to you?
Yeah.
And now they're hiding him from kicking for the media down there?
I agree with you.
So that's not great. That's one I'll say that's not great.
You know
for the
what
draft.
I heard from the credentialed media?
What'd you hear?
Throws a good ball.
It's also
that's what I
his energy
heard.
Is amazing.
Of the kicker.
I mean, if you're telling me he's better than Brian Hoyer, I would.
No. Of the kicker. I heard he throws a good ball.
There you go.
That's what I've heard about the kicker down at camp.
So what if this doesn't work out?
Goskowski.
You bringing him back?
Yeah.
Vinatieri
or Nick Folk?
I would bring back Vinatieri. Give me Vinatieri.
No, you know why? No, he missed too many kicks. He blew so many covers for me last year. He missed an extra point.
Yeah, it was bad.
Out.
In. I'm so in.
No, out.
Why?
He can sign and retire. That's it.
He'd be fine kicking here.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Vinatieri here would be so great.
Oh, people would love it. The gray beard coming in to kick.
Yeah,
he's
everybody,
a 40.
Oh, he's on the Colts. Boo. Yeah. Oh, wait, he's back on the pan. Yeah, I love you, Adam.
I agree with that one. I agree with that one.
I would never quit on you, Adam. Yeah.
Here's a 52-yarder to win a game, Shank. I don't know if he's got the leg anymore.
Sign me up for Vinatieri.
No.
At least they wouldn't hide him during training camp like they're hiding this other kid.
At least Goskowski won't cost you much compared to
the years
before.
They don't even ask Goskowski to kick any big field goals.
He hit one in the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't. They were going to win that. Do you think they were already up 7? Do you think Jared Goff is going to drive down the field?
We could talk about the Goskowski stuff, and I'll agree with you forever, but he's a better option than sounds like the guy who could throw pretty well.
Vinatieri.
Mike? Don't do it. He was not good with the Colts. He was
no,
not.
He was a disaster.
He cost them wins.
Neither was Hoyer. Neither was Hoyer. That didn't stop them from bringing him in.
Well, at least well, he's a teacher. He's
no, if Vinatieri hit field goals, Hoyer wins.
Maybe Vinatieri can teach Wassermeyer, well, whatever his name is.
I like that one.
Yep.
Again, you bring him in, he retires a Patriot. That's
from,
it for me.
Vinatieri's from South Dakota. They might have some similar.
Wasn't his kid kicking for somebody, I believe?
I think so.
Oh, no, his nephew.
I think it's his nephew.
But you're talking about rookies, though. I know we got to go to break. But I think there are a lot of rookies could make an impact this year.
Yeah.
I think Asiasi definitely will make an impact.
The tight ends have to.
Yeah.
At least in terms of playing time. I don't know if they can play or not, but they're going to have to play a ton.
We'll see Keene because what are they going to do with fullback? Are they going to have a fullback? Do they even want to have a fullback? Those are just two guys. But Duggar, and then when we talk about last year's draft, like where does Jawan Williams fit here?
He's kind of buried, right? He doesn't.
Like, could they try him at safety? Like,
maybe.
What do they do in that spot, you know, without Chung? Like, is Duggar the guy? Do you plug and play him right away?
Looks like it. I mean, he's making an impact in camp so far. So if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Yeah, look, I hated that pick with a passion. But if he can play, he can play. And I'll be wrong about it. Wouldn't be the first time.
And my guy, Cash Maliua. Who had a game-winning interception against Hawaii last year for a big cover.
Oh, did he?
It's my guy.
The Pats got
Cash Maliula from Compton.
There you go. Maybe Bill's got his mojo back a little bit. 617-779-0985. We'll get to all your quarterback thoughts, some more training camp takeaways here after the headlines from Mike Lockhart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely gutting. It sucks. Nothing else to say about that. So it's definitely frustrating. Doesn't feel great at the moment. Just try to get better as soon as I can. As far as timeline, you know, it's kind of up in the air. It's kind of just how my body responds to the rehab and all that stuff. So it's hard to say. I mean, no one knows really.
You make me feel so good.
Gordon Hayward talking to the media yesterday. Now that we know he's going to miss a chunk of time with his ankle sprain. It's Adam Jones, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart with you until 10. And we're going to check in with Lockhart about 10 minutes from now. We'll get all his thoughts. We'll get you draft prepped for your fantasy drafts coming up. Again, I got the auction a week from Sunday, so I'm already thinking fantasy football, 24/7. You know, a little bit of work here, a little bit of family there, mostly fantasy football with the auction a week and a half away. So we'll get some strategies, some ideas, some late targets, some rookies. All that good stuff from Mike Lockhart again, coming up about 10 minutes from now. With your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Meantime, that's Gordon Hayward on his injury. And I don't feel like Gordon Hayward is a game changer for this team the way a lot of people do, meaning the injury really changes the outlook. Like, obviously you want all hands on deck. Like, it goes without saying that you want as many guys healthy as possible in your rotation. And, you know, it shortens your rotation and all these other things. But, like, I do not feel that Gordon Hayward changes my prediction in any series. His injury changes my prediction in any series. Like, I was an idiot and picked Philly in this series, right? Gordon Hayward getting hurt, like, that wouldn't have changed my prediction going into the series. I only would have made me feel even better about picking Philly. Just because the Celtics are without Hayward, against Toronto, I would still take the Celtics over Toronto. I like that matchup. I didn't like the matchup with Philly. Again, I'm an idiot. They probably will barely even show up in the game tonight. It doesn't change my pick against Toronto. I'll pick the Celtics against Toronto. And I would have with Hayward, I would without Hayward. And I wouldn't pick the Celtics against the Bucks. And I know, Joe, you have a side thought on the Bucks. They haven't looked good so far in the bubble, which is fine. I wouldn't pick them to beat the Bucks with or without Hayward because I don't like that matchup. Same thing with Philadelphia. And I'll tell you what. You may just think I'm talking out my backside or I have a personal agenda against Gordon Hayward or whatever, and fine, maybe I do, but they're 15-6 without him. Counting the game the other night, 14-6 in the regular season, another playoff win, blowout win. They look much better in game two than they did in game one without Gordon Hayward. And I'm not telling you I have a great explanation for that. I don't know if Smart fits together better with that starting rotation. And you know I'm not the biggest Marcus Smart guy. I don't know if Hayward can gum things up a little bit, because it is, regardless of what the Celtics say, in my opinion, an awkward fit with Brown and Tatum. But whatever it is, they don't miss him when he's out. They're now 15-6 without him. And I don't think it changes the outlook for me one bit this postseason. I don't think they miss him. I don't think they're going
to
miss him.
So I think I'll agree to your point that I think at times they do look like a better team when he's not around. Maybe it is too many wings. Maybe, you know, I think that's what Brad Stevens' issue more than anything. And I do think that the Kyrie Irving Celtics definitely had an issue with Brad, you know, trying to continue to get Gordon Hayward into the mix and work him in.
Yeah, the teacher's pet, the apple pie.
And that was
a
real thing. I think Jalen was upset, and it wasn't really public. And, you know, Marcus Morris at times was upset about it, and he gets shipped out. So, you know, the more you look at it here, can they be a successful team without Gordon Hayward? Yes. My only thing is they don't have anything else, though. Like, right now, like, I'm looking ahead. I look at the Bucks. I think Chris Middleton always crushes the Celtics. He is not playing well right now. He's not. But they have to get through the Toronto before they even get to the Bucks. I think they can beat the Bucks. I think the Celtics can beat the Bucks with Giannis playing the way. I don't even think Giannis is playing that great. But I think that if they have to rely on Shimi Ogilvy or Romeo Langford or one of those other guys, they're not going to be successful.
Does he change your outlook, Locker?
No. And, you know, once in a while, Gordon Hayward will pull you out, you know, when Jaylen Brown or Tatum aren't shooting well. Once in a while, he'll have a game where he can win it for you, but it's not a typical thing. And he reminds me of Matt Clement. Like, all of a sudden he gets injured and he's never the same again.
What a comparison.
Yeah. I mean, he was hurt before he even got to start, really. And, you know, it doesn't change a lot for me. No, I mean, I guess he does little things like passing and stuff like that you don't really pick up.
Yeah. But, the Horford stuff.
Right.
The stuff you can't quantify.
I think we all agree Hayward's size and ability is there. It doesn't work here, though. Well, it's just not working.
And just when do you say this about another team when their fourth option goes down and you're like, I don't know. When do you say that about another team? He's the fourth guy.
I mean, Golden State won with four guys.
He's the fourth guy. Like, what do you say that about other two? Yeah. When another team's fourth guy goes down, you're like, all right, well, they still have their three guys. They'll be fine.
Cleveland won with...
They still have Kemba and Jalen and Taylor. Like, if you're not a Celtics fan, that's what everybody else
would say. Kevin Love went down, Cleveland still does. Yeah. You're right. You are right about that.
Like, to me, like, Toronto is down Kawhi Leonard, and Toronto was better than you this year. So, like, that, I'm not worried about Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, somebody will show up.
Yes.
Like, even Kelly Olynyk one year, a playoff game one year. I mean... So something will happen where Tice goes off, or, you know, he has those random games. They don't need him to win.
I agree. Well, they don't.
Kelly Olynyk has a game. Does Gordon Hayward have a game? Like, we all can reference Kelly Olynyk game.
Yeah, we can reference the Gordon Hayward game too. Mike's right. It was game one. That was his game. That was his game. I don't remember what he did. He didn't even shoot that great. That was his, he literally had one game. 617-779-0985. The Celtics miss him. Answer obviously is no. They're 15-6 without him. They don't need him. Doesn't change the outlook one bit. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, Toronto changed my opinion against Toronto. Not mine. I didn't like the Philly matchup. I'm an idiot. I'm wrong. I've always liked the Toronto matchup for them. Hayward, to me, does not matter. So we'll get to that. And you got some questions for Lockhart. Maybe you can pepper him a little bit. Fantasy football. We'll do that. Some questions for the host of the Fantasy Football Show here on the Sports Hub, Mike Lockhart, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Break up the five villain.
We're coming up on 8 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart. host of the Fantasy Football Show. When's the first show, Lockhart?
I believe it's August 30th, Sunday, so a week from this Sunday.
Oh, so I can listen the morning of my auction.
If you're up.
Well, I'm up.
I'll be podcasting.
Oh, too. I'm up these days, baby. Yeah. I'm up. The kid doesn't sleep, so I'm up.
This sounds like a rotisserie, like, you know, remember the old day it was rotisserie leagues?
Yeah.
Like, yours sounds like it's like a rotisserie league.
Auction. No, it's auction. Yeah, yeah. Get, you know, you want to spend $100 on Christian McCaffrey? Go ahead. Go right ahead, sir. But, you know, you've blanked half your budget. So McCaffrey's the number one guy, right, in drafts. I have a question, because I feel like this has been getting trendier and trendier. And if you have questions for Lockhart on Fantasy, you can dial us up, 617-779-0985. Are you a proponent of taking wide receivers in the first round? You know, and I don't know if that means it's a PPR league or half-point PPR. Are you a proponent, and who are the guys that would be in the mix in that range?
Yeah, only in PPR league. So when you're getting a point for every catch, because that adds up quick. Mike Thomas is the guy that I would take in the first round this year. He caught so many passes last year, it was ridiculous. But other than that, I kind of wait on wide receivers. I wait till rounds 2, 3, 4, and beyond. You know, you get the Cooper Cups of the world and everybody like that. And everybody goes crazy for running backs because they see them start going off the board. And this year, if you can't get a running back who is just kind of like the solo guy, the McCaffreys, the Barkleys, there's a lot of rookies out there that are going to be splitting time. We saw, I mean, look at the 49ers last year. They used 4 running backs, and a lot of weeks those guys were helping you win games. So I think there's a lot of players out this year to look out for. And, you know, you look at Damian Harris in New England. You could probably get him in the last round or draft him for $1 in your case, and he could end up being the starter here. I mean, Sony Michel hasn't been at camp, really. He's been banged up. It's kind of an open job right now outside of James White. There's a lot of these guys. You look at A.J. Dillon, you know, with the Packers.
Sure.
They're going to run a lot this year.
Big calves on that guy. You know, big legs on that guy.
Oh, he's a monster.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Green is still there. I got Ahmad Green still playing for the Packers. Jones is still there. He's going to get a lot of carries. But I think A.J. Dillon, the two of those guys, are going to get so many carries that you're going to be able to use both of them and still get by, whether it be in a running back 2 or a flex. There's a lot of guys out there this year that, you know, remember Devin Singletary last year from Buffalo? Banged up a lot. Great running back, banged up a lot. Well, then they drafted Zach Moss this year in the third round. He's going to get a lot of carries this year, and he's going to get some receptions for you, too. He's a guy that you can get really late that I think is going to be a monster come the end of the year. These are some of the guys I think could end up helping you win a league. There's another running back for the Washington football team. His name's Antonio Gibson. He went to Memphis. Mm-hmm. He was kind of a man without a position. He played wide receiver. Yep. Yeah, he returned kicks. He was a running back. But he's one of those guys, and I hate to use this analogy now because he's kind of fallen off a bit. But remember David Johnson the first couple of years?
Yeah.
Couldn't be stopped. I have a feeling Antonio Gibson for Washington is going to do the same thing this year. And he has no competition. I mean, who's it? Peterson? Is
he like Bryce Love, yeah.
Yeah, so other than that, you know, those are some names that you should look out for.
Who scares you in the first? Like, who is a blinking red light, I'm avoiding this guy in the first?
I'm starting to worry about Alvin Kamara. A littler running back. People want him. Yes, he can, you know, score you 35 points in a week, but... You know, last year it didn't look great when he was all banged up, and he's a smaller running back, and he scares me a little bit this year. I would feel more comfortable getting him in the second round this year if I could, top of the second round, than I would burning a pick in the first round for him. And stay the hell away from Todd Gurley altogether this year.
Okay.
He's on a team made of glass. He's made of glass. Don't go anywhere near Todd Gurley.
So what's an ideal, like, positional strategy? I hear fantasy guys talk about this a lot. Like, and obviously, you know, everything's about how the board unfolds. You know, if you know, Christian McCaffrey falls to you at the 5th pick or something ridiculous like that, you're going to do it. But, like, you know, if you mapped out the first 3 or 4 rounds, what do you want to come away with? Do you want to go running back and then, you know, try to fill in those wide receiver gaps? Would you target a quarterback in the first round? Like, what's your ideal scenario those first 4?
I'm not targeting a quarterback in the first round. I have no problem with doing it in the late second round because these guys scored so many points last year. You know, Lamar Jackson went crazy. I'm sure Pat Mahomes is going to make his return to one of the top scorers of the league this year. He got hurt last year. but he's got so many weapons to throw to. Those are the two guys that jump out at me. If you can get him early round three, even better. But I don't really have a strategy as far as, like, I have to take a running back here. I have to take a wide receiver. I'm just trying to get guys that I think will end up being healthy. You know, I try to stay away from, you know, look at Tyreek Hill. He's already got a hamstring issue. If I can get him in the third round, great. But in the second round, if he's sitting there and somebody takes him and, say, Mike Evans is sitting there, I'll gladly take Mike Evans right after him.
I have an out list. Guys I am out on.
Okay.
And I would like to get your opinion.
Sure.
Quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't go near Aaron Rodgers.
Both out.
They have nowhere to throw to outside of Adams in Green
okay.
Bay.
Okay. Running back, Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette.
Oh, ooh. I hate Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, Fournette stinks.
Out
yeah.
on both of those.
They guys. Might. Yeah. They might. I would watch him as like a trade candidate late in camp, and then I'd try
could
to like.
Be. I think they've been trying to deal him. And
no, for
wants
sure,
him.
For sure. I think they're trying to deal everyone. And Ngakoue and like, but like, I don't. You might think Fournette's like the guy in Jacksonville when you draft him. He could get traded.
Tariq Cohen, by the way, I guess he gained a bunch of weight last year and came into camp like slow and sluggish, and he's turned it around. But we'll see.
I
he was never
him.
A great fantasy.
I
guy
love anymore. Him, but I no, I'm yeah. out. And then two more: Amari Cooper and Julian Edelman. I'm not drafting those guys this year.
I'll take Edelman all day in a PPR league. He's going to catch a lot of passes.
Are you afraid of Edelman kind of being dinged up in camp, though? Like being managed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking him in the first six rounds. So, yep. I'm not. You know, that's a value pick after that. So, I'm not too worried about
and
that.
And I just got two more. Hunter Henry, because he's always hurt. Yeah. And Jared Cook, I think, will be overrated with the Saints.
He's always overrated, isn't he? I mean, last year he had some touchdowns, but when you needed him, he didn't show up. My worst team had Jared Cook on it last year. And I thought that was like a serious reflection that I helped, you know, I built around getting him as my tight end.
I'm out on all Chargers, by the way. You said Hunter Henry. I'm out
ooh,
on
I love
Eckler.
I'm out on,
oh,
well,
Eckler?
I'm sorry, Eckler I might be in on. Any you know, but
Melvin
like,
Gordon, I'm out.
Well, he's in Denver
he's in
now.
Denver now.
So
yeah.
So I think I'm out like Keenan Allen, like where he's gonna go, I'd pass. Hunter yeah. Henry pass. Like, is Tyrod Taylor throwing on the football? I'm out.
Hunter Henry is always hurt.
So you mentioned the rookie running backs,
yeah.
and there's a bunch of them. You mentioned Dylan, you mentioned, or maybe you didn't mention DeAndre Swift,
Cam
and J.K.
Yeah.
Dobbins, Cam Akers. Like, there's a lot of rookies. Edwards Hilaire is gonna be the bell cow in Kansas City. He's
sure.
a first round guy. Who do you like out of the other backs? And especially who do you like in their situation? Because as you alluded to, almost all the rookies outside of Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City, they're splitting time.
Yeah, I like what I see from Dobbins. You know, they're going to still use Mark Ingram, but that, you know, they had no problem running multiple backs last year and running Lamar Jackson. So I like Dobbins. He's probably going to be available, you know, mid-round. So he's another guy you can throw in your flex and have some monster weeks from. I really like him a lot.
And before we let you go, or not let you go, but before
right,
we move on,
here.
Before we move on and get to Burt Breer, I should say, because Burt Breer now, you know, very, very urgent. Yeah. He's got some news for us, hopefully, and a good cell phone service. We mentioned some of the late round running backs you like in terms of Dylan and guys like this. Is there I'd call it a double digit if he's not like a 10th or 11th round pick, but like a later wide receiver you'd find yourself targeting?
In Keel Harry.
Really?
I think I saw flashes of athleticism.
Well, so you're not worried about Edelman or Harry not practicing. Neither of those things scare you.
I want Harry this year. I think he's going to be able to manage himself better. I think he knows what he's in for. And we saw some flashes last year, that Kansas City game, where he could end up being maybe the number one receiver for the Patriots this year.
Yep, he's not going to have to be in a spot to catch a ball.
He's not going to get screamed at by Brady this year. I think things will be much better for him.
Okay, there you go. Listen to the Fantasy Football Show. First one on Sunday, the 30th, Sunday, August 30th.
Next week.
All right, get tuned in. Get those tips. Get ready for your draft season. Mike Lockhart is not going anywhere. He's got your Hub headlines. And then we got Burt Breer, MMQB, right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.